Let's open with prayer. Father, we are so thankful that you are always with us. We know that you go before us and you prepare the way. And you are Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord mighty in battle. And Lord, we put our trust, our confidence, our hope in you. Lord, we pray that as this word is taught today, that it becomes alive on the inside of us. Lord, only you can do that. So we yield ourselves to the ministry of the Holy Spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're so glad you are here today. And our message today is on faith in times of trouble. And there are several people who are going through it right now. Lots of trouble going on. The Duncans all left because Elder James dropped a 400-pound cast iron tub on his foot yesterday. And he is heading for the hospital because it's swelling so big and the pain is so great. So they left to take Elder James to the hospital. And a couple other people said, there is problems in my house. I've got to get home. But, you know, I'm so thankful. I said, you know what? You need to download the message when it's put on the web on Wednesday. And those of you that have the River of Life app, that message comes right on into you if you allow push notifications. But I encourage you, listen to the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. You know, one of the great themes found over and over in the Bible is that regardless of the times in which people live and regardless of the problems they were facing, there was no problem or need which God could not meet if they simply trusted and obeyed him. Amen? So there's no problem or need that God cannot meet. The scripture says in Psalm 50:15, if you'll read it with me, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Let's read that again. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. You know, God always knows the way out. Aren't you so glad? We can't see the end from the beginning. And sometimes it feels like we are just up against the wall. And what is a wall to us is no problem with God. Amen? Because he opens up the way, he clears the way for us, he opens up the door, and we're able to walk through. Aren't you glad? Has he done that for you? If he's done that for you, let's give him a praise. So this morning, we're going to take a look at the prophet Elijah in 1 Kings, and he meets up with a widow woman, and all she has is a little flour and a little oil to make some bread. And then she's going to give up and die. And Elijah is being sent into this very difficult situation. And talking about bread can, you know, make us hungry and make our mouths water. I think I was talking about bread last week because I've been on a fast and haven't been eating bread. So I'm talking about bread and I'm preaching about bread. But the Lord wants us to have a spiritual hunger. Amen? Amen. Because in John 6:35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Today we're going to take a look at Elijah and his meeting with this widow from Zarephath. That is the story as told by the widow that God sent Elijah to. You see, he was originally, at the beginning of this chapter, by a brook. God had sent him to a brook because it was Elijah that prayed for the drought to come upon the land. And God instructed him to go to the brook, and at the brook he would sustain him. And the ravens brought him food every day, and he drank from the brook. But then the brook dried up. And so this is what the Lord said to Elijah in verses 7 through 9. He said, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you.'" So the word of the Lord came to him to let him know that his provision was in this next place. But I'm sure he hesitated a little bit because it was a Gentile city. And the king of that city was Jezebel's father. And Jezebel and Elijah were enemies. So God made this widow willing. That's what the scripture says. "I've commanded a widow there to provide for you." God makes us willing and able to accomplish his plan for our life. It is God who sustains us in our time of lack and need. It is God who causes the unrighteous to help the righteous. Elijah was a prophet of God. She was a Gentile. She didn't believe in his God. And it's God that changes the hearts of people. We can't change people's hearts. All we can do is yield ourselves to God and let him change our hearts. And when our heart begins to change, people around us begin to look different. The situation around us begins to look different. And isn't it interesting that it is God who chooses the people around us to help us, and he connects us according to his will if we will obey. She said it's very unlikely that a person is going to ask a widow for something. But this widow is the one that had the provision to sustain Elijah's life. So I'm sure for Elijah it was a very humbling experience for him to ask. And there were several widows in this land. You see, there was more than one widow God could have connected him with. But God chose this widow. It's interesting, too, as we look at this, because this is really difficult times. This is a time of trouble for Elijah. It is a time of trouble for the widow and her son. And then on top of the trouble, he sends him into the city where Jezebel's father is ruling. And like I said, there was not a good connection between the two of them. The prophets of Baal hated the prophets of God. But God was preparing Elijah for the big showdown on Mount Carmel, which you can read about in the 18th chapter. This is all a part of the process of growing Elijah in faith and also the salvation and the healing and the deliverance of this widow. So in the natural, it looks like all odds were stacked against him to get through this drought and famine. And often in our own lives, it looks like all odds are stacked against us when we're facing troubles and trials. It looks like everything has turned against us. But Elijah learned from his experience at the brook that he could trust God's word. So when Elijah was told to arise and go forward, he listened and he obeyed God. So let's read on in 1 Kings 17:10 through 15a. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives. Notice she didn't claim him as her God. She spoke to him, as the Lord your God lives. I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat and die. It's interesting that she was preparing to eat their last meal and die. And Elijah meets her at this point where I'm sure she had worked through all of this in her mind. You know how we are. She had played the scenarios over and over again in her mind. But she had no hope. She was a widow. She didn't have a husband. There was no one to help her. And Elijah showed up. And she honestly didn't believe that she had anything to give him. The little that was in her hand, the little that she had, she didn't recognize that that was all she needed. And many times, it's the same way in our life. We're always looking for the big thing or the big change. When it's really right there with us all the time. So many of God's people and so many people who don't know God are blind to what God has put on the inside of them. They're blind to what God has put on the inside of them. The gift and the ability that they have that is from God. Because in ourselves, we will always point out our own weaknesses. We'll look at our own shortcomings. And this is not only in the natural, but also in our souls. We're not good enough. We can't do it. I'm not strong enough. I don't have enough. And this was, I'm sure, what she was thinking. We don't have enough. I'm going to eat my last meal and die. And you want me to give you my last meal? But God had been working in her heart. And he was making her willing. Because what was on the inside of her was a gift of hospitality. Come on, she wanted to give something away. That was on the inside of her, but nobody had made a demand for that. But when the man of God, Elijah, showed up, he began to put a demand on the gift and the ability that is on the inside of the widow, even though she's lost. Come on, lost people have gifts and abilities and talents, and God uses them. He uses them to accomplish his will and his plan. And in the process of that, he blesses them and draws them to him. Praise God. So Lord, open up our eyes to see what you've put on the inside of each one of us that is more than enough to begin with. You hear people say, oh, if I just had $1 million, I'd do this, this, and this. Well, how about if you do it with your first 10? But can you do it 10? You can put it in the building fund. Hallelujah. That thermometer is rising out there. Praise God. What you going to do with your first fruits? And that's what this woman, although it was her last bread, she was sowing her first fruit into the word of the Lord. Do you see that? This is all she had, but she was ready to give it away. My reasoning would be, well, what's the difference if I already ate my last meal or this is my last meal? Here, go ahead and eat this. You know, what's the difference? It's just one meal. We could all give up one meal. We could all give up one meal. And wouldn't even miss it. But this was her last meal. So it was a precious meal, but still it was going to be her last meal and she was going to die. So what do you have to lose? Elijah asked for it, so hey, I'm going to give it to the prophet because something rang true in her spirit. Something was quickened. That seed of faith and hope that's on the inside of her suddenly came to life. Let's read on. Verses 13 through 15a. And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah." It's God's way and it's God's glory to make use of and put honor upon the weak and the foolish things of the world. This sounds so foolish, doesn't it? I mean, really, in the natural. But in 1 Corinthians 1:27, it said, "God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty." God enjoys showing off and showing up in the weak. If you're feeling weak today, praise God. Praise God. Because when we are weak, God is strong. When we don't know what to do, God knows what to do. When we're faced with situations and problems that are way too big for us, that's when our hope arises, our faith is extended, and we begin to cry out to the Lord, because when we cry out to Him in our times of trouble, He hears us, He delivers us, and we give Him the glory. Come on, give the Lord a praise this morning. He's a mighty God. He's here with you. He knows what you're going through. He knows those of you that are sitting here with financial difficulties. He knows whether or not you need your heat turned on in your utilities. God knows all of those things. He knows if you're having problems with your children. He knows if marriages, husbands and wives are fighting. He knows all of that. And the good news is He loves you. He wants to help you. And He has not turned His back on you. Some of you are sitting here today and people have turned their back on you and said, "Why bother with you? We've been down this road before." But you know what? God will go down that road again with you. Hallelujah, because He is your shepherd. He is your helper. And praise God, He doesn't give up on us, because if He would have gave up on me, I wouldn't be standing here today. Come on. God continues to work in our life and work on our behalf. We can have faith in times of trouble because we serve a God who knows everything about us. And sovereignly, He oversees our lives. So He knows the end from the beginning. And in the midst of our desert, in the midst of our storm, God is strengthening us. And God is drawing us closer to Him. That's the whole thing. You know, it's all about God. When we're in trouble, we are going through something, it becomes all about us. Oh, woe is me. I'm always the victim. Somebody's always picking on me. Oh, or it's the devil. Oh, yeah, it's the demons. It's the devil. But God, He knows. He knows. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He knows all about our troubles. You know, he said, I am touched. When he was out walking on the earth, he had all kinds of problems and resistance and people coming against him, people trying to kill him. People hated him. They spit on him. They threw things at him. They ran him out of town. They wanted to throw him off a cliff. Come on, they hated him. He was faced with all kinds of situations and disappointments. And that's why he could say, I'm touched with your feelings of your infirmities and your struggles. I'm touched by that. I know the struggle that goes on in your soul. I know because I've been there. Jesus has been through it. So we can talk to him about it. Because he knows anyway. What are you trying to hide? He knows anyway. So you might as well just give it up and talk to him. Because when we start to talk to him about it, he hears us. He hears us and he delivers us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So when Elijah spoke the word of the Lord to this widow, her hope was renewed. You see, that's how we renew our hope. That's how our faith is, it grows. You know, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith comes. It comes. You don't have all the faith you're ever going to have right this minute, because faith comes. And it comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want to have faith in times of trouble? Read the word. Speak the word. God's word is the change agent. We can't change people, but the word can change us and change the situation. Faith comes. Tell your neighbor, faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Matthew Henry said this, those who can venture upon the promise of God will make no difficulty to expose and empty themselves in his service by giving him his first part. The widow denied herself and her son to depend upon God's promise. That's a miracle in the kingdom of grace. When we yield ourselves to the Lord, when we deny ourselves and take up our cross to follow him, that's grace. That's God's kingdom of grace. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. Grace is given to us. That's how we keep going. And we really need to extend grace to people. Tell your neighbor, extend grace to people. If we go around acting like we're better than everybody else, they are not going to want to have anything to do with us. They're not going to want anything to do with us. Jesus didn't act that way. Jesus ate with the sinners. Jesus was out in the midst of the community. You know, the church can become ingrown because all they do is stay in the church. God wants us out. This is the day of the saints. The saints do the work of the ministry. You can touch people's life just with a smile. You don't have to preach to them. Don't memorize a sermon. They don't need a sermon. People need love. Love covers a multitude of sins. People are hurting. You're hurting. There's people here today that are hurting. We extend grace to you. And at the same time, we extend truth to you. Because if it's too much grace, people never change. So a little bit of truth, right, Roxanne? A little bit of truth in those counseling sessions. Grace and truth. Jesus was full of both of them. He wants us to be full of both of them. Extending grace. God's grace. His unmerited favor. So she denied herself. And because she denied herself, she received the increase in her meal and oil. And that is a miracle in the kingdom of God for God's provision for us. You know, she could have got really sarcastic and responded very harshly to Elijah. Just think about yourself. Put yourself in that situation. You have a child. This is your last meal. And some guy shows up who is Jewish and you're a Gentile. And he's probably not even supposed to be talking to the widow or him talking to a Gentile. There were all kinds of rules and regulations. But, you know, God breaks down barriers, doesn't he? Don't you love it how God breaks down barriers? But her miracle provision came through obedience. The scripture tells us God supplies all of our needs according to his riches in glory. Not according to what we're seeing, but according to what he has. And he always has provision for this day. He knew you'd be alive today. And he knew what you'd need today. Do you have the faith to ask God for the provision you need today? It takes faith. And he said, you have not because you ask not. We've got to ask. So this woman begins growing in faith. Because of what happened. Her flour never ran out. And her oil never ran dry. The provision of faith in 1 Kings 17, 15 through 16. And she and he and her household ate for many days. We don't know how many days this went on. But for many days. And the bin of flour was not used up. Nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which was spoken by Elijah. What this speaks to me is, the Lord said he would give us this day our daily bread. He was faithful to supply their daily bread. But they had to believe in faith every day that God was gonna supply their daily bread. Do you get that? Because we just want to pray once and have what we want. Like, you know, our human nature is, God, how many times do we have to do this? How many times do I have to pray about this? Do I have to believe every day for this? Tell your neighbor yes. Every day. So having faith in times of trouble is not a one-time commitment. You just don't commit to it today and not commit to it tomorrow. So at the end of each day, they acknowledge their complete dependence upon the Lord and trusted him for enough grace for the next day. And that's what we do. We depend upon the Lord and we trust him for grace at the next day. Lamentations 3:22, the widow quoted this, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We don't know how long that way of life continued. And when we're walking through trouble, we don't know how long it's going to continue. We just want to end it and get it over, and we look for ways that we can end it. Amen. That's right. Enough's enough. I'm ready to end this. But what we need to do is go to God and say, God, what are you doing in the midst of all of this? Are you growing me in faith? But did you notice that the widow had a different spin on this? And let's go on, because in the next scripture, there's another test of faith. And she said, now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick, and his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, what have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son? So we hear what was really bothering the widow in her heart. It came out. It sounded like she was really struggling with guilt and shame, that the reason that her husband had died and the reason that her son had died and the reason she was in this financial crisis was because of her personal sins. I think she felt she must be so bad. So bad. That's why all these things happened to her. And it kind of reminds me of Job's friends. You know, Job's friends, when he was at a time of suffering, he had one friend that told him, well, this is because you've sinned. And Job hadn't sinned. We don't need friends like that. You know, don't make judgments on people that they're in the situation they're in because they sinned. Pray for them. Lord, if they're in sin, cause repentance to come upon them. But we can judge situations that are not true and actually hurts that person. Am I stepping on toes? That comes from being religious. And that comes from wanting to be one up on everybody else because I'm more spiritual, so I'm not going through that. Watch out. Watch out. Be careful. We extend grace and we extend truth and love to those who are hurting. And you know what? It's best just to sit down and hurt with your friend than to try and analyze and judge. And you have not walked in their shoes, have they, Janice? They have no idea. No idea. Hallelujah. Lord, give us more grace with one another, with the lost, with the hurting, with those that are weak. You know, if you are strong and you are mature, then you have a huge responsibility. And it's better to walk humbly. Better to walk humbly because God hates the proud. That's pretty strong. God does have a hate list. She must have thought that it was because of everything she had done wrong in her life that all of this happened to her. Trouble came. But God sent a deliverer to her. Through Elijah. She didn't know God. But she was experiencing God through having provision every single day. And now her son died. And such turmoil is going on in her heart. Because as I read this, I thought, okay, it's one more thing. Have you ever said that? Here we go. It's one more thing. One more problem. One more. Yeah, Chase knows what I'm talking about. It's one more thing. And it's one more time for God to show up. It's one more time for God to help you. It's one more time for God to show you the way through. Come on, it's one more time for God to be strong in your life. It's one more time to have a testimony. Even if it takes a while. Because that's up to God. But thank God it doesn't sound like it took too long to bring her son back. So let's read this next scriptures in 19 and 21. And he said to her, give me your son. So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying. And he laid him on his own bed. And then he cried out to the Lord and said, oh Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son? And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried to the Lord and said, oh Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him. You know, I believe Elijah prayed without a doubt. Because he had experienced the power of God in his life. And he knew that was not the way the story was supposed to end for this widow. Who had generously given. Let's read on. The Lord heard Elijah. Verses 22 and 23. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. Don't you like that? Aren't you glad that the Lord hears the voice of Tess? And the Lord hears the voice of Elders Jim and Carol? The Lord hears your voice. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. Yes! How exciting! You know, God's the keeper of all souls. When we pass from this life, our soul goes back to the Lord. He's the keeper of soul. He sent the soul into that body, and he takes that soul back. God sent the soul back into that child. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son lives. Praise God. When we call upon him in our day of trouble, he delivers us. He delivers us. And we glorify him. God, I'm sure that was a Holy Ghost party. Ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party. I'm sure that mama was rejoicing. And Elijah was like, shoo, thank you, Lord. You came through again. Because no man can return a soul. Even when you're revived or resuscitated. If God doesn't decide you're going to be, you're not going to be. Because he holds our life in his hands. A provision of faith. 1 Kings 17:24. And this is, we're getting near the end, if anyone wants to know. Then the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth. What we learn from this in times of trouble is that God's word can be trusted beyond any doubt. Yes, amen. God's word is eternal in the heavens. It will never pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word is eternal. His promises are eternal. And God's words can be trusted for all of our needs in life and in death. And may we say, now we know that the word of the Lord is the truth, and make that truth into living faith. God wants us to live by faith. He said, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The word of God is so important. It is our daily bread. Our daily bread. If you're struggling in your life, maybe you're malnourished spiritually. We need some daily bread. If you've got a phone, you can get apps on your phone that will send you daily bread. Honestly, our culture will stand before God with no excuse. Because on these little devices that we hold in our hand, we can have 15, 20 versions of the Bible. We can have 10 devotions coming into us every day. But you have to take time to read them and to meditate upon them. Because God's word sustains us. It is what helps us in times of trouble. So let's all stand this morning. I believe by faith that there were many things said today that you witness with in your heart. You witness with in your heart. Some of you feel like you're going through what you're going through because of past sin in your life. Some of you know that you're in a place where sin is keeping you from God. But whatever place you're in today, you can come into right standing with God. God wants to heal you and forgive you of your sins. But we have to ask. We ask for the Lord to forgive us. And He's faithful to forgive us. So don't let it hold you back today. If there's something in your life, ask the Lord to forgive you. We need His help in times of trouble. And He hears you. You know, other people, I'm just sensing by the Spirit, someone's here this morning that people keep ignoring what you say. It's like you're not even heard. You're voicing your feelings, what's going on with you, but they just kind of push you to the side. And it's like, you know, they're really not genuinely concerned. God wants you to know this morning, He is. He is. The things you have never even verbalized, God knows what's in your heart. You know, when the widow began to talk to Elijah about her son dying, you could hear what was really in her heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It must be because of my sins that all of this is happening to me. Listen to what is coming out of your own mouth. It's a big clue to what's going on the inside of you. And God wants to help you, to touch you, to heal you, to advance you. God is for us. He is for us. Let's all bow our heads this morning. And Aaron, you can start some music, please. Heavenly Father, we just thank You that You're here today. And You know the struggles of every person that is standing here. So Lord, I pray that those that are asking You forgiveness right now for forgiveness, Lord, that You wash over them with the precious blood of Jesus. Lord, I thank you. Those that are struggling with self-condemnation and self-guilt, Lord, that you wash over them this morning with the blood of Jesus. That you heal our souls and you make us whole today. Breathe life into us today, Lord. Those who are weary from all of the trouble and the struggles they've been going through in this life, God, I pray you breathe your life into them today. Let the breath of God fill our bodies today. Renew us, refresh us. Lord, as we turn to you in our time of trouble, as we get our eyes off of the trouble and on you, the problems seem so small because you are so big. God, I thank you. Someone needs to hear this morning. God is the way maker. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. He is the way maker. Lord, whoever that is for, I thank you, God, that you are opening up the way for them. Lord, that you show yourself mighty this week in their life. That they know that they know God is moving in my situation. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Let's just thank him this morning. Thank you, Lord. You're touching hearts. You're healing bodies because you are here. Your life, your breath of life is renewing our souls, refreshing our bodies. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that healing is going out from the house of the Lord, from the sanctuary, as the saints rejoice, Lord, in the power of your presence in each one of our lives, Lord. You are our hope in times of trouble. Our faith and our confidence is in you. It's in you because you're able to do it. You're able to do it. Tell somebody next to you, he is able to do it. He is able to do it. Whatever you're facing, he is able to do it. And you know what is so amazing? He wants to. Let's give him a praise. He wants to. He wants to. This morning, I'm going to ask if our prayer teams will come forward. And we have prayer teams that have prepared themselves to pray for you. I encourage you, don't leave this place today if you need prayer for your body. If you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ today, come forward and share with us that that's what you've done. And we just thank you all for coming today. Lord, I pray that you bless every person and their family and their children. Lord, let your face shine upon them as they go and give them favor this week, Lord, as you increase them on every side and help them, Lord, to know you are for them. You are for them. And the people of God, the River of Life family, we are for you. Tell your neighbor, I am for you. I am for you.